Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Keith Cheggers podcast. My name's Hannah Norris. I'm an actor and I also do about a billion other different jobs. I'm 39 years old and I'm here with my husband, Carl Donnelly. Hi, Carl.
Hello, Hannah Norris.
Who are you?
I am Carl Donnelly. I am a stand-up comedian. I'm 37. Mm-hmm. What was the other things you said?
What I do. I think that was about all.
That was it.
That's all we
that's
are.
The
that's
bullet
all we've
points.
Got. Yeah, so we're married and a couple of weeks ago, I found out a thing.
Yes.
And
what is it?
Realized I didn't know anything about that thing.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to start finding out more about it.
Yes.
And thought that we'd do a podcast to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've not, just to clarify, because I've got another podcast.
Yeah.
Two other podcasts. But this was in no way influenced by me.
No.
I reckon I've probably got some friends who would hear this and go, oh, Carl's bloody got her doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's my idea.
It's absolutely your idea.
But he's got all the equipment,
I
so
do,
I was
yes.
like, oh, that's easy.
I'm just merely technical support.
Yeah.
But you should probably tell them what the thing is.
Which I'm really bad at, but that's exactly why I have to be doing this. So the Keith Cheggers podcast is here because Keith Cheggers means preggers in Cockney rhyming slang.
Yes.
Carl informed me. And that's what I am right now.
You are pregnant. You're struggling to say the word so far.
I can't say it. I haven't. It's still quite early days. So that's why I haven't got used to saying it.
I mean, it's very early days. I mean, your idea is to chart the course. Not just chart, not because you just want to tell people what's happening to you, but you actually, I mean, it's true. We don't know anything about babies, pregnancy. All right, much, to be honest. We're two late 30s creatives who've wasted our life.
Yeah. I can talk a lot about theatre and what people are feeling when they look at each other in a certain way, but not about what to do when you have a new human in the world or are growing a new human.
No.
So with that in mind, like we said, it's very early on. From looking at an app, I think I'm 6 weeks, but I also don't know if that's that's real.
You told me it's the size of a blueberry yesterday.
Yeah.
That's been what doing your app told
little,
you. I mean.
Yeah. So I've been doing a little bit of looking stuff up as you do. But when I first...
Slightly more than a little. Come on. In the nature of honesty, you have been reading a lot.
Well, that's also... Yeah. But not finding out everything that I want to find out.
No.
And not being really crazy.
No, I don't mean that in a crazy way. I just mean it's been your topic of, naturally, it's been the topic of what you're Googling.
Because I like to think about it because I feel as well, because right now I don't really have that many feelings, like I don't have that many sensations. If I don't think about it, then it's like it's not happening. So it makes it real if I've got my attention on it and trying to find out what's going on for me. And so... That was what I did. I've kind of been searching for information and sources and things that are interesting and interesting stories and things that I might not know, which is pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to talk to people as I go along the journey before actually having the baby.
Yeah.
Babies, maybe.
That's what you're already we're having a... Slight.
That's a question mark.
Not what concerns, but you know, there could be a couple in there. Could be three in there. Could be eight in there. It's happened.
Optimum number two.
And quickly, the Keith Cheggers thing. You were trying to come up with a name for the podcast.
Yeah, I realized it was.
I said, something about Keith Chegwin being a funny bit of rhyming slang. And you laughed at the phrase, but didn't know who Keith Chegwin was. No. So when I explained who he was, you thought it'd be funny to call this podcast.
And then I told Carl that he died 2 years ago.
Yeah, which... I didn't know. 2 years ago.
Which he didn't know.
For somebody who was such a seminal part of my childhood, I'm surprised I missed that news.
Yeah, I do recognise his face, though, I've done some Googling on that as well.
I'm trying to work out what part of the year he died. December. On the 11th of December, yeah. The day before your birthday.
Day before my birthday. 40th birthday this year.
I was probably... just in full swing of birthday prep.
Yeah,
I was out wrapping things, and so you basically made me miss Keith Chegwin's death.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But I also realised
life goes on.
With that name, it is the first, naming this podcast is the first thing that we've named together.
Yeah, because we've never had a pet.
No.
We don't name things like inanimate objects.
No.
We've got bikes, but we haven't chosen names for those.
No. Got plants, they don't have names.
No, they don't. They just, they get an equal amount of love between them.
Yeah. So
until the baby comes along and then they are all going to die.
Yeah. But yeah, we had a few different ideas, but it's Keith Chegwin.
The Keith Chegwin podcast.
Yeah.
We're off. This is episode number one.
So what happened? 2 weeks ago, just nearly 2 weeks ago, I did a pregnancy test.
Yep.
And I was given a date to do that because we've been doing IVF, which I'll talk a bit more about, I guess. So I had to do a pregnancy test on a Friday morning, and the hospital had given me a test to do, and I decided I was going to do a backup one as well. So I woke up about 3:30 in the morning because it's supposed to be better in morning wee,
yeah,
that you really pick up whether it's...
It's had more time to... that marinade.
Yeah. Get really strong overnight.
Yeah.
And so I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, but I decided that was the middle of the night. And then I waited till like 9 and I went and did my wee in a cup, put both of the tests in, left them.
Why do you not do it actually on them? Is it not like, you know, in the films you see people just like hold them underneath the streams.
Yeah, that's one way you can do it, or you can put it in a jar. So I love collecting glass.
Did you use one of our jars? I was unaware of this fact.
Yes.
Has that jar since been thrown in the bin?
No, it's had boiling water in it. It's now in the mix of all the other jars.
I don't even know which jar it is.
No, you don't.
That is,
and I don't know.
That's not allowed.
Why not? It's sterilized now.
It's sterilized, but the sort of memory of wee is in there.
Exactly, the memory of life, the starting of life. That's amazing. It should make you love all the jars even more.
No, it won't.
Because I really love glass jars.
It'll make me now never use any of our jars again.
And I collect way too many of them.
You do, actually.
Don't throw them out.
But as we've learnt just then, they do come in handy down the line.
Yeah. And so Carl wasn't here. He's in Canada.
I was in Canada, yes. Yeah.
And so I just told him that I was going to send him an emoji with either a thumbs up or a thumbs down,
yes,
depending on what the result came back. So I waited those few minutes, and then I went back and checked, and they both had the two lines on them, which is what is positive.
Yeah.
So I think we get one line, it's negative, two lines is positive. But on both of them, the second line was a bit fainter than the other one.
Yeah.
So it says on there that that's supposed to mean positive, but I wasn't convinced, so... I just sent Carl that.
So you just pissed in every jar.
I left it at that. I didn't do any more wees and test them. But I just sent Carl the emoji that had the the shrug emoji, because
thing I, yeah, I mean, not the last thing. The last thing I wanted, obviously, was a thumbs down. But the not knowing is always an issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was also the one I absolutely not thought about.
No, me neither.
I literally thought I was getting a thumbs down. Oh, well, let's try again in the new year.
Yeah.
Or a thumbs up, hooray.
Yeah.
Now I've got to go to a wedding with this massive secret in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't prepared for the I don't
the
know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it just shows what a cool couple we are as well, that we use emojis to tell this kind of...
It doesn't. It's just, it's a terrible indictment on the modern age, let's be honest. Anything, if ever our future child/children listen to this, that's going to be the moment they're like, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, what idiots. So anyway, I had to go back into the hospital because, like I said, the IVF thing, I had to go back and get some more tablets and things, and they were very encouraging and said, this sounds like good news, but I was still a bit uncertain. So she said that she would do a blood test for me and would give me the results later that day. So we did that, and she kind of advised me, if it was whatever this thing was, when you do the Wee test, if it's a level of 50, it shows up.
Yeah.
Which I think is HCG hormone. It'll show up on the Wee test. But on the blood test, if it's from like 5, it'll show up. So that's a much smaller amount. It'll show up than if you've got this pregnancy hormone. And she was like, so if it comes up at about 20, then we'll get you back in a couple of days, and it should have doubled by then, and then it's all well and good and on the way. But yeah, we'll do that, and I'll call you later today with what the results are. So then I had to spend the whole day just going, I don't know what's happening, feeling really kind of inside my body and really unsure about it.
And you were sending me regular updates of still haven't heard.
Yeah.
Because it was, I assumed she'd call you in like an hour or two.
Yeah.
And it's not, obviously, this isn't anyway having a go at them. They've been amazing the whole time, but it was a bit of a longer wait than expected.
But also that thing of going, we are doing this through the NHS, and they, how much work they have to do.
We'll talk about that in a minute, I think. I can't believe just how much was done.
Yeah. And it was at the very, very end of the day. And I trusted her that she was going to call me. And she did call, and she said that the level that it had read was 179, I think, which is
so many babies in there.
Way more than 5 or 20. So I was like, oh, right, it's happening.
It's on.
And so I told Carl that.
You tell me.
And
then that massive secret maybe stayed a secret for about 5 minutes. Yeah. And then I told my two friends who I was with, two comedian friends who were at the wedding with each other. And I genuinely, in my head before that, I was like, I'm not going to tell anyone for the first 3 months.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I was like, because my natural instinct is to always
be private.
It's not just be private, but it's also, I don't like ever, I think it's from a childhood thing of, I don't like celebrating something until it's 100% definite.
You don't even like celebrating things really anyway.
I do like celebrating. I like celebrating other people's things.
Yeah.
My personal things, I tend to be slightly less excited about.
Yeah,
but I'm always slightly worried that what if something goes wrong?
Yeah,
and then you've told everyone,
mm-hmm.
but with this, for some reason though, that I thought that would be the case. Even if I got the thumbs up, I thought that's fine. Just don't tell anyone for months, and I just couldn't not. I was excited,
and I think as well, like, yes, there is that chance that things can go wrong, like they can in any walk of life, but the likelihood is that if that's to happen, which it could to anybody, you're still likely to tell those people that it's happened anyway.
Well, I suppose, yeah. At least, if you're close friends, it keeps them in the loop as to where you're at. Because I think maybe the old me would have been like, keep it private. If something bad happens 2 months in,
keep it locked down.
Keep that all locked down, never tell a soul. But I think nowadays I'm much more open.
And I had a friend coming over to dinner that night, and she wanted to drink lots of gin, which I'm usually very happy to do. So I knew that night it was either going to be, if it was a thumbs down, I was going to get pissed on gin with her. If it was a thumbs up, then I was going to have to tell her, because it seems to be that I can't think of any other legitimate reason to tell people why I don't want to drink with them, except that there's a baby.
It's almost as if we live in a country where just saying I don't want to drink isn't accepted.
Yeah, it doesn't get accepted.
We should have called this podcast the 9 months. Hannah has 9 months off gin podcast.
Yeah, well, who knows? We might want to change it.
Are you allowed to have a gin like on the day of birth?
Well, this is the thing. So I love gin and tonic.
I can, for the listeners, I can confirm.
Yeah,
that.
We will change the name.
Not in a worrying way, just to clarify.
Yeah, you know, I love it.
You love the taste of it.
Yeah. And my dad smuggled gin and tonic into the hospital to my mum before she gave birth to me.
Before?
Yep.
I mean, that's...
And that, I mean, that says something. That says that...
Says he's a...
Why I love
irresponsible father, but a great just husband.
Hidden. Yeah,
he's really got, the, he's got the, sort of the ratio wrong on where his behaviour.
Those fake. I've got that fake gin, the one you can buy that's got no alcohol in it.
Yeah, which is crap.
I don't recommend.
No. You might as well just put a bit of water in your tonic.
And then some, like, I don't know, some grass. Just a bit of grass. That's all it tastes like.
A glass of grass.
No, thank you.
So anyway, so there, that's where we're at.
So yeah, we got...
Where you're at. I just want to clarify for everyone as well, we're not going to be saying we're pregnant. I can't, I, honestly, this is your podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be even here every episode. You're going to be off chatting to other pregnant ladies or whatever. I'll just nip off.
But you are also part of it, obviously.
I'm part
of the deal, and you're part of the learning as well.
I'd be comfortable saying we're having a baby.
Yeah.
But I absolutely draw the line at we're pregnant. I definitely think that is you're really doing the heavy lifting on this.
If I'm not around, like I said to someone the other day, I'm having a baby.
Yeah.
But that's because you weren't there. Like, they're with me.
No, you need to correct that. No, of course you can.
But do you think you'd say to people, we're having a baby if I wasn't there with you? Or you'd say Hannah's having a baby?
I would say Hannah's having a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think as speaking as a father.
Oh, God. Not ready.
No, what I mean is speaking as a man who now his partner? Sorry, wife.
Keep weird. Going. This is disgusting.
It shows how we're not ready for this. Can't even say the words. I definitely think, you know, it is, we do our initial bit and then we are very much in a support capacity. The partner of a pregnant person. And then once the baby comes out, it's back to, right, this is sort of, obviously there's still certain things you have to take the lead on. But, you know, I think then the sort of the balance of responsibility comes back. The needle comes nearer the middle. I think during pregnancy, men have just got to, or partners have just got to sort of stand by and, you know, be there to support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, that'll be an interesting thing to see if we change, you know, if that changes, that perspective changes along the way or when find out more.
What if I just start shirking my responsibilities?
Or you start being like, oh no, I feel really nauseous today.
Oh, sympathy pains.
I need to lie down, I need a nap.
I mean, that will happen.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do we want to talk more about IVF now or so?
Do you know what? I think we should just... I think it's worth explaining the process just for people that might be considering it or might, you know, because, I mean, you did the most of it. I just had to show up and do a little sample in a sexy room.
Yeah, with a poster with boobs on the wall.
One poster with boobs and one poster, just a really nice oil painting of like a nice... landscape.
Yeah.
That was the one I used.
Yeah. That's your vibe. we have done IVF to get to this point. Can't say it. So it's probably about a year and a half ago. I just went to my local GP for something else. I think I had a cough or something like that. And just mentioned to her the idea of having a baby. So Carl and I we never have said that we were trying for a baby. The idea of that, again, is one that makes me feel a bit sick. Like it feels quite desperate and feels like you're putting a lot of effort in towards something. And I guess as well, for me, the disappointment of it not working, if I'm not like going, I'm really trying for this, then it doesn't, it's not so devastating if it doesn't happen.
That's what, for us, I think we both thought, let's just leave it up to
See what happens.
But let's never say we're trying because, I think there is that fear of failure.
Yeah, and from a genuine point of going, well, maybe we'll have a baby one day and maybe we won't and it's all good either way.
Yeah, just and that's for anyone else. That's not saying that if you're trying, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's just I'm saying this is for our perspective. Yeah. We just wanted to keep it cash.
Which obviously the whole thing will be from our perspective and whatever you're doing is cool and great.
And correct.
And keep going.
There's no right or wrong answers, guys.
Yeah. So I went to see this doctor and I just mentioned it to her about the idea of having a baby. She asked how long we'd been trying for, and it had been a couple of years, I suppose. And she then looked up my age and went, okay, I'm going to get you in the system straight away. And I was like, what system? And basically it just started the process of being, because she told me that in the area where we live, you're able to access IVF through the NHS up until the age of 40 as a woman or as the mother. So I was like, fine. And we started going into this process where I began to get tested for different things. Carl was tested as well. And that's when they might find out reasons for the infertility, like, you know, that there might be problems or issues. Yeah. But for us, everything came back fine again. So it's that unexplained infertility. So there was a series of tests probably over 6 months, 7, 8 months or something.
Yeah. You know, obviously, there was a few months in between each little thing that we had to do. It wasn't like sort of intensive.
And then it got to the point where they said, so the next step is basically you might want to try IVF. And it was something before that we'd never talked about.
No.
And kind of walked out of the hospital going, oh, do you think that's something you want to do? And we're both like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And decided to go ahead with
because
that.
Of the age as well, obviously. Yeah. The NHS have a sort of cut off at 40 where they'll do it on the NHS.
Yeah.
So you get, is it one round?
Well, no, you could do two, I think.
Right.
But it has to be before you turn 40.
Yeah. And you're 40 in...
In December. In, yeah.
So 6 weeks?
In 2 months, yeah. Okay. Shut everything down.
No. So we were on a slightly tight deadline, but also the deadline was affected by the fact that we were off travelling and doing gigs and we were at festivals and...
We went to Australia. I was there for 3 months. So we were apart for a bunch of that time. Yeah. And then when we came back, we were maybe going to start IVF in May. But then I got some touring work and went on tour with a band for like 3 months. And then we had the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
And it was on that schedule going, okay, it's at the end of Edinburgh that we have to start this because otherwise we're going to run out of time and not be able to do this and kind of make that time and make that space to put this as a priority and something to focus on. So... Yeah, started taking these tablets at towards the last week of August, which had to do for a bit, which regulated my cycle. And then I had to go into the hospital and they gave me needles and injections. And I had to inject myself in the morning and in the evening. The morning one was kind of a really easy, it was a very thin needle, kind of like an acupuncture needle that I injected into my stomach. And in the evening there was a slightly bigger needle into my thigh. Now, I don't like, I'm not big on needles. Yeah. I don't really like them. I love acupuncture and I've also done acupuncture throughout this. But, you know, blood tests and things like that, not big on. But I found these really easy. They weren't a problem to do these injections. And had to do that for a couple of weeks. And then we went, that was stimulating my follicles, which then they aim to create more follicles than usual. When you usual cycle, you get one follicle that releases an egg, but they want to create as many as possible. And I ended up making 8 follicles.
I got to see them on a scan. There was a couple that were massive.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know how many times they were magnified.
Yeah.
But they were huge.
And they then had a procedure which was under sedation. They extracted those 8 eggs from the follicles. I think this is right. And then together with the sample that Carl had produced.
So yeah, I had to go and do my sample while you were still waiting to go in.
Yeah.
Did it, brought it back. Then they took you in.
Yeah.
Knocked you out. I nipped to Westfield shopping centre. Mm-hmm. I had half an hour to kill. It was around the corner. We could probably actually recommend the clinic.
Yeah.
Because I think they're not just NHS, they're private as well.
Yep.
And they were, from the word go, so nice.
Yeah. It's been amazing.
I mean, they make it so, what's the word? Sort of, they never make it sound daunting at any point. I think they're really, everyone is so nice and warm. And it just, I think, you know, and I'm only, this is obviously, I'm saying from my perspective, you were the person who actually had to go through the procedure, but, you know, it just, it was a nice process.
And in that way of normalizing it as well, it doesn't make it all seem like a big deal. It's something that they're preparing for you and offering you, and they know what they're doing. They're doing it, they're seeing people all day, every day. And that's been really good. And that was at Queen Charlotte's Hospital.
Yes.
In Hammersmith.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then they...
So yeah, they extracted...
Got your eggs, mixed up with my stuff.
Mixed it up. And then the next day, they phoned me, the next morning, to say that 6 of the eggs had fertilized.
Yes.
And then because of that, they said that it's likely we'll transfer them back to you in 5 days.
Yep.
And so I had to then wait for a couple of days, I think. And then they called back. Oh no, it wasn't until we went in, was it, that we knew how many?
Oh no, yeah. So we, yeah, so we got, knew there were six eggs that were sort fertilized. We got put on the under pressure to make a decision, didn't we?
Yeah, because we went in and they said, okay, there's two that have grown to size.
Yes.
That we will be able to transfer back into two embryos, and we want to put them both in.
Yeah.
And the night before, we'd had a chat going, oh, I think we'd just want to do one.
Yeah.
And because then you can freeze one. And if then in the future you want to do IVF from a frozen embryo process and you want to pay for that, it's much cheaper,
yes,
than doing the whole IVF process. So it was like a bargain conversation.
Yeah. But then they just hit us with it. They went, look, you've got two that are ready to go back in. You've got one that is potentially tomorrow might have developed to the point where we can freeze it for future use. And then they were like, but if that doesn't, these are the only two you got.
Yeah.
And they were saying, we think we should put both in,
yeah,
to hedge our bets.
Which is what used to happen with IVF. They'd put multiple embryos in, which is why there's kind of been multiple pregnancies, yeah, and people, yeah, have twins or triplets or four or eight or whatever. Whereas now they're much more commonly put one back in. But for us, they suggested two, and they did offer to leave the room about it.
And they left the room and we had it was quite, it really put us on the spot. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. That was the only moment where I was like, oh, actually, this is quite big, isn't it?
And because it felt like a film to me there, just being in that room, it's like going for a pap smear. It's not like it's not a crazy invasive process. It's a familiar setting, but outside of the room is like a full on lab that reminded me of
films. They left the door open.
Yeah.
So we were in that room and you could see all the magic happening through there. There was just these doctors and all these massive, they look almost like fish tanks and their arms are in there.
Like Hollywood films. I was like, whoa, that's where it's really happening. Yeah. And then they put the picture of both the embryos on the screen. And so we had a proper chat and decided to go for the gamble and put them both.
And the gamble, obviously we're now saying it paid off, but at the time as well, the day after they called us and said that third one actually developed. So that is now on ice.
Yep.
For any future use.
Yeah. So they just suddenly, we said yes to the two embryos being put in, and then they came back in, and then the woman shouted to the man, the doctor, she went, ready. And then he just came rustling in.
Yeah.
Shot two embryos up my fajaj. And then that was it.
That was the and then suddenly term
they were in there. And it, as soon as it's finished, it's like, okay, just so you know, they're not gonna fall out. You're not gonna go to the toilet and they're not gonna fall out. But it was a really weird sensation of knowing that has just happened to you.
Yeah.
And that they're these tiny little things that have been transferred back into your body and not really knowing what's gonna happen. So that couple of weeks before having to do the test was quite, there's this thing that they talk about, the 2 week wait, which sends people quite crazy. I was quite chilled about it, but I was still very aware.
Yeah.
I was quite tired.
Oh yeah, I don't think you were showing any real visible signs of it bothering you,
No, but just very calm. Just a hyper awareness of that's possibly happening in my body. Is that going right? Is it not?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But that's what I think the part of this idea of this is for you learning about, you know, the ongoing changes and things you've got to look out for, or yeah. things that might be, you know, I imagine it is that thing, you must become hyper aware of your body.
Yeah.
Everything's changing, you're growing a person inside.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's probably a natural thing where any slight feeling in your body, even if it's not related, suddenly in your head thinking, well, that's new. My ankle's hurting. It must be the bloody baby. So I think that's why going forward, chatting to people who've been through it is the best way of preparing.
But that thing is that there's so many different stories and people Absolutely. Have such personal experiences with it. Just be interesting to see what it's like for different people throughout their pregnancies.
Even the learning being pregnant. We've talked about how, like, you know, it's most people find out they're pregnant. If they've been trying, they suddenly have that month where, oh, hang on, my period hasn't come. And then they do the test and, oh, amazing. Or it's a total surprise. Yeah. They're the sort of normal to. But through IVF, you actually, because it's such a process and that the whole time you're building up to it, you don't actually really have that eureka moment.
No.
There's definitely a much more... right, it worked.
Yeah.
Moment, which is totally different to any, like, the normal, you know, the baby is there.
And sort of being, having that awareness, really preparing my body through the injections and the medication that the hospital gives you. I mean, but also
some of those injections I've had to do.
Yes.
We should, can we just, again, for people that might be going through, so don't know what you're going to go through, once you've done your injections to yourself, there then comes a point where you get given a new injection, which they recommend goes into your bum.
Yeah.
And that's when I took over. I was initially when they said, like, she said to me, you should do them.
Yeah.
Because when I say she, I mean the doctors. I was not referring to you in that term. But the first time she said that, I was like, what? I'm going to have to inject into Hannah's bum. That is like such a...
Great Friday night.
No, there was definitely a part of me was like, that feels like something I'm not 100% comfortable with. You know, anyone who's seen my stand up in the past might know that I talk about how I can't even pass wind around you and stuff like that. I'm not good with bodily functions, but it's not, you know, once it actually got going. Was fine. You know what I mean? You have to put, you're meant to put ice on your bum. We've been using sweet
corn. Frozen corn, yeah.
On your, like, sort of quite high top, like a top left or top right of the bum cheek, get them cold, and then I get my needles out, and I've actually, it's become a totally normal part of the morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a little sort of warning for anyone who's going to be going through it. If you're a partner of somebody who's going to get ready to start injecting into their bum.
But also, if the partner who's been doing the bum injections for you is often away, then you have to do them yourself into your leg, which is a bit more painful.
Yeah. Because it's a bit, but again, it's a big needle. But you say it's not as bad as it looks.
No, but afterwards, because it's apparently I think it's progesterone. Again, like, I don't really know what any of these things are. Progesterone, but it's in an oil. So when it gets injected in, you have to warm the oil up first. You just bite, like, I put it in the top of my trousers or in my bra to get it warm, and then if I don't massage it properly afterwards, kind of loosen it all up, then I get big lumps in my bum where it, like, I don't know, congeals. I don't know what's going on.
Which means the next day I have to bloody aim differently to navigate around the lumps.
Yeah, but it is a small price to pay. For me, it's been really easy and really good process. And for me as well, there's part of it I really like about it, that I sort of know what's happening every step of the way, that it's a very, even though it's more scientific than sort of the miracle of normal conception, I really like that.
Yeah.
It all makes sense to me what's happening, and I know what's happening.
Yeah, it's been fascinating, like, watching it all happen. Yeah. Even when they were showing us things, like when they showed us those embryos, like, I didn't know an embryo looked like that.
No.
Like, it was properly round. Yeah. It's so round.
We can share the picture.
Oh, we can share
the picture.
People
can see what it looks like.
Get in touch. But yeah, so that's sort of where we're at.
Yeah, so so those things I feel like I've been learning a lot about and knowing about. But then once that was kind of dropped on me, that yes, it's happened. You are pregnant. I was like,
you're left on your own.
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I've never really, haven't been around babies that much. You know, my family, we haven't really had loads of babies. Not the people I'm close to, or they've been at different ages or in different countries. Yep. And
well, I mean, they are famously easy to look after. it's an absolute walk in the park.
I think I don't think I've changed a nappy, which I said to you.
Yeah, earlier. I don't think I have either.
I think I've done babysitting like 5 times in my life.
Yeah.
To various ages, but nothing properly, like,
yeah, yeah.
Not to a proper baby.
No.
And I've never had my own pet. Our family had a dog, not Howie, not that I really looked after him very much, but he was there.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I've been responsible for anything, another person, another thing, really, except for myself, for my whole life. And now we're going to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what this podcast will end up being, was a gradual dawning of just what's happened.
Yeah.
What we're going to go
through. Yeah, an alternative name was, oh God, what have we done?
Yeah. But so that's, you know, I think it's going to be interesting hearing your thoughts on what's going on. Because at the minute you keep saying, oh, I felt something that might be related to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You might have a little sort of feeling in your stomach. So far you haven't had any sick feelings.
No, I haven't, like.
You've had a couple of moments where you thought you might, and then you're like, no, that could have been a thing.
The tiniest thing of going, oh, is that, am I feeling sick? But I have to look for it that much. There's no way I'm feeling sick.
But that's probably just that heightened sense of,
I keep saying how massive my boobs are.
Yeah, they're absolutely the same size as they have been the whole time I've known you. They're very consistent, I will say. But you've been reading some bits.
Yeah.
This is your starting point has been, you've been reading books, one of which I'm about to read. You finished one about French kids.
French children don't throw food. That was one of the first ones I looked up. In those first few days, going, what do I do now? Like, how do I find out stuff? Within which I kind of went to some podcasts and didn't really find what I was looking for.
No, they all are sort of, a lot of them are parenting podcasts. Mm. Some of them are very scientific.
Yeah.
You know, breakdowns of what happens to your body. There's
a whole load of it about mommies. I can't wait to be a mommy.
Yeah.
Make me feel
unwell.
And
the sorts of people that would say we're pregnant.
Yeah.
So there's nothing actually, it's just somebody chatting to people as they go along to find out, right, what can I expect?
And much more story-based. There's one about birth stories, which I don't want to listen to yet. I don't feel I'm ready for that stage yet. But that seemed really interesting, just hearing really, stories from women and their birth stories and all the details, which I feel like already I've talked way more than I thought I was going to about the things that we've talked about so far. When you go, there's actually so many details involved in every part of this that, there's a lot to talk about.
There is. There's a lot to learn as well. Mm-hmm. I will report back once I've read that French book.
Yeah.
Because that's the plan, is to have French children. I want French Brigitte. Twins. But that's about just, you know, how to, I mean, that's much more about once they're out.
Yeah.
Then how you sort of start setting them up to be decent people.
But things to prepare for and look out for, and ideas for good ways to go about things, whether it's throughout the pregnancy or once the babies are born, which I don't know when we find that out. Like I said, I think I'm six weeks pregnant, but I only know that from apps. No one's told me that from a hospital.
Yeah.
Apparently you measure it from the first day of your last period. I didn't know that was the rule, but I do now.
Yeah.
And that's why we're at 6 weeks.
So you've got a scan next week?
Yes.
So I've got a scan on Monday. More.
Yeah, don't even know what we find out there.
Very casual approach.
But we have to go for a scan on Monday, I guess, just to see how things are going.
And then next week again, we've got a social gathering.
Yeah.
That is going to be the case of, do we tell people?
Yeah.
It's a wedding.
Yeah.
One of my old friends. We're going to Wales. Couple of days surrounded by people that, if we went to that normally, you would have some gins.
Yeah.
So we don't even know yet how we're going to broach it. Do we tell them?
I think, like I was saying, I think it's that obvious thing now as well, when you say, oh, I'm not drinking, that people suspect that maybe you're pregnant.
They definitely, yeah, definitely.
And might not ask more questions.
In that circle, especially in my old sort of normal life friends circle, saying I'm not drinking definitely would be, that's a baby.
Yeah.
In the comedy world or acting world even, I think if somebody says they're not drinking, it's like, oh, that's because they used to be an alcoholic.
Yeah,
it's definitely,
yeah.
I think it's definitely a split.
Well, just earlier this week, I went to someone's house and was offered Dom Perignon. And the only reason I could see to say no to that was to admit that I was having a baby.
Because they know you would not turn down Dom Perignon.
I've never tried it. I've never even tasted it.
Oh, no. You've missed your chance.
I know.
I'll get you a bottle in 9 months
today. Yes, let's do that. Great. Everybody heard that.
I say we can name the French child Dom Perignon.
Another idea was Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I've always said I'd love to call the kid Keanu Reeves.
It's not just Keanu, it's Keanu Reeves.
Yes, Reeves is a middle name. Keanu Reeves.
I thought it was all first name.
Norris Donnelly.
Keanu Reeves, first name.
Oh, what hyphenated or just literally turn it into
maybe
one word. Just create the single word of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk baby names at another episode. Yeah. So there, that's...
Yeah.
You're just going to be... You're going to be joined. I'll be here most times, but sometimes I might be away.
Yeah.
And you'll have... You know, each episode, I think some might just be us.
Yeah.
But some... I'd say most, the intention is for you to be chatting to somebody really cool and interesting about their experiences.
But it's quite good having Cole here because he does know about podcasting is a real professional.
How to press record on my very high-end digital recorder.
And talk for ages about...
Yeah.
Well, you can talk about nothing in your podcast.
Yeah, if you like this podcast, avoid my other one. This one is about something. The other one is just... absolutely aimless chat about nothing, but it's gonna be, I mean, the thing is, I think we're both on very much on the same page. We're both very sort of relaxed, because it was that thing of, you know, we've always said, you know, it'd be nice to have kids, but we've never had that desperation for it, and that's not a bad thing at all. It's not a criticism of people that do. It's totally natural. It's one of the most natural instincts you can have, but just for some weird reason we haven't had that,
because I think as well we have other passions and things that fill our life, which is something
slightly jar against it, I think. Those, you know, comedy, acting are lifestyles that are, I think, the people that are attracted to it are people that like to be free, and being a parent is the opposite, but that's not in a bad way. So I think it's a moment of us maybe hitting that age where we're like, oh, it'd be nice to maybe have something to tether us.
And literally, if we don't do it now, that's what I know, if I don't do it now, then it might never happen, particularly with doing IVF, that it had to happen now, because I kind of said that I didn't want to pay for that ever. I didn't feel like putting that money into that felt right. That might have changed further down the line if we hadn't been successful, or if we were in a situation where we didn't have the opportunity to have that on the NHS, so amazing. Like, if I was in Australia, it costs, I don't know, 20 grand or something like that.
Again, it's just a little nod to the NHS for being pretty amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, all the way along as well, just knowing that there was still the chance that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the success rate is something like 40%.
Yeah. That was such a weird statistic for me. For some reason I thought, I mean, this comes from the absolute lack of knowledge that I thought IVF, well, it must be like an 80% success rate. I just thought, well, obviously, because they're taking it out, just fixing it up, putting it back in, what could go wrong? And that's just the ignorance of somebody who's never looked into it. So even during, I never, you know, I think I told you, but we never really talked about what we expected. Did we expect it to definitely work or whatever?
Yeah.
But I definitely just got a sense very early on in the process it was going to work. I just had this...
Yeah.
I don't know. It was this weird calmness. I was like, oh, this is absolutely going to work. I can just feel it. Every single moment, every little test they did, every little thing, the way they were saying it just made me go, oh, this is going to work.
Yeah.
And I just, so by the time, I was fully expecting when you did the test. Thumbs up. Yeah. That was why, that was the first moment I was a bit like, what? When I got the sort of unsure.
I guess I do, going back before this, it's a thing that... getting my period every month, when you wonder if it's going to be that you're pregnant, but then you get your period. Like, being inside of that, I'm like, oh, is there something wrong with my body? Is it rejecting it? Is my body not working properly that this isn't happening because it feels like it should? So there's that little bit of doubt definitely in me that maybe my body wasn't gonna hold it or make or progress progress the pregnancy. But like I said, I was also doing acupuncture, which I love anyway.
Yeah, you did. But, you were doing loads of yoga in the lead up to it as well,
which I like doing, but I don't really do it that much. But I did it.
Yes.
In the lead up to doing the.
I was doing weights to increase my testosterone.
Getting your dad bod.
My big old dad bod sorted. But I did it. I read that it sort of increases your testosterone. So in the build up, I made sure that they were all fit and healthy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah. So we've covered some things. I don't know if we've covered everything, obviously, to where we're at right now. But yeah, in the next episodes and throughout the next 8 and a bit months, the plan is to talk to someone every week who is pregnant, has been pregnant, has something that I really connect with as a human and as a mother or mother to be, something that I see in them that I see in myself. So perhaps people who work in the arts or comedy or who have careers and things they're passionate about or just relate to in other ways and kind of connect with. So that's the plan.
It's a good plan. So we'll be learning and sharing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be times when we're sharing sort of, some stresses.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was thinking about today about, I think a lot of preparing for a child is, you prepare, you're thinking about the house, you're thinking about, you're thinking about, I'm not going to be, obviously you're preparing yourself for the lack of sleep and the stress and all that stuff. But, I actually think, a lot of it, I think a lot of people should be preparing your mind, getting your mind into a position of being prepared for the absolute shift in your life. I'm definitely planning on getting my meditation on and, getting my sort of head right.
Yeah.
So that it's not a shock to the system. It still will be a shock, but I mean a lesser shock.
I feel like I haven't been thinking about that at all.
But that's just why we're going to share, we've got to take different responsibilities.
Yeah.
But that is also reflective of the fact that you're going to be going through the total physical change. I can't go through that.
Yeah.
So I can only be there to support that. For me, I think I'm going to have to go through the mental change of...
Yeah.
Because mentally, you'll be way more prepared when it happens because you're feeling it the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just watching it, which is, I'm sort of, it's like if you watch a documentary, you're not feeling what they're feeling. You're just watching what they feel and you're sort of empathizing. But I think I'm going to try and totally sort of mentally prepare.
I believe you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, flash forward to 9 months and I'll be fetal position crying. I can't do it.
I was just thinking some of the things that I've been doing differently.
Yeah.
I have been wearing mainly dresses and tights because my jeans are usually quite tight and I feel like if I wear jeans and I zip them up and they're high-waisted ones, then I think I'm going to cut off all my circulation.
Yeah, squash the babies.
Squash
the blueberries.
So, it's tights and dresses at the moment. Yeah. I haven't been weighing myself. And now as a woman, I go through phases where I get obsessed about my weight and phases when I'm fine with not thinking about it and, not looking at that. So since I started IVF, I haven't been doing that. So that's good.
Yeah.
It's also a question in the back of my mind. I wonder how much I weigh.
You've been eating a lot of soups.
Yep, soups, because that's good for digestion.
Yes.
So your body doesn't have to so the energy can go towards your reproductive system and to your uterus and things like that rather than to digest foods that are difficult to digest.
Lots of teas as well.
Nettle tea.
Yeah, you've been drinking loads.
That's my big acupuncturist's big one. Nettle tea is really good for the blood, and because you have to build lots of blood while you're building a new baby, they need loads of blood.
There we go.
So lots of nettle tea. I don't want to drink. We're vegans, Carl.
Yeah, we're
sorry. We are vegans as well.
Our own. I'll give you some.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's it. We're up to date.
Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully, if anyone is thinking of IVF or, you know, going through it at the minute, that gives you a little insight into, you know, what you can expect.
Yeah, and what it's been like for us and what's going on in my body,
yeah,
our brains, our lives.
Yeah. And it is different. That's the thing. It is obviously going to be different for everyone. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's interesting to get a load of different voices.
Yeah.
You said earlier on, actually, I said something about, we were chatting about telling people at the wedding next week. I said, like, should we? And you just said a very philosophical line. You said, there is no should, which sounded like something Bruce Lee would say. It was good. But yeah. I think that's a good motto to have going through pregnancy. Is it obviously, there's the sort of standard thing that's happening, but there is also, anything can happen. You know,
yeah.
It's a total crazy change and something that you're ultimately evolved to do.
Yeah.
So you're ready for this.
It's my time.
It's your time. You're absolutely primed and ready.
I am.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks for listening, and there'll be more. Jeez. This is Keith Cheggers.
We've been listening to the Keith Cheggers podcast. R.I.P. Keith Cheggers. Let's dedicate this first episode to his memory.
Yeah.
That's what he would have wanted.
R.I.P.
GreatBigOwl.com.
And welcome to the musical podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.